I grew up hearing from my dad, if you're going to do something, do it right. And I've always believed that. I'm never, ever going to do anything without being 100% in and not doing everything I can to make it as strong as possible.
Hey, I'm Ashley Agle. Some of you might know me as Ashley Burkhart, and I'm a former D1 and professional softball player who spent a few years coaching in the college game before deciding to put all of my focus into youth softball players and helping them make their dreams and their goals happen for them. It's our job to help them unleash their potential and become the athletes they've always dreamt of. I come from a small city in the Midwest and didn't let that stop me from making my goal of playing D1 softball a reality. No matter where you live, you have the tools to help you thrive, and I am hoping through this podcast to help you get there. On this podcast, you'll learn from Olympians, Hall of Fame coaches, and elite players what their journeys have been like, and you'll also learn from me and my family a bit of our journey through the game. I'm so excited to have you here, so whip out your notebook and let's learn how we can grow in this game together. Welcome to When the Cleats Come Off. Hey, welcome back to another episode of When the Cleats Come Off. I have had mad respect for Gray from afar, watching him call insane games at Alabama, seeing him riff with Tara Henry at Softball America on what's going on in the college softball world, and listening to a few of his stellar episodes with his partner Tom on their podcast Out of the Box. It was time to get Ray Robertson on the show and learn from a softball, especially Alabama softball obsessed analyst, and see how someone on the other side of the game sees it. We've had Amanda Scarborough on in episode 172 talking all things behind the scenes, from how she prepares for games and does research, and I found it absolutely fascinating. I can't wait for you guys to see how Gray spends over 5 hours preparing for every single game he's a part of. This guy is the real deal, so stick around to learn how to be great at anything requires massive amounts of preparation, why Gray thinks Patrick Murphy has one of the best cultures in college softball, what some of the wildest games are that he's ever called, and what got him softball obsessed out of literally nowhere. And make sure to stay till the very end to see some of his favorite movie recommendations. Side note, he has a podcast reviewing movies too. This is one of the most fun and light conversations we've ever had on the podcast. I loved it. So let's welcome my new friend, Gray Robertson, to the show. Holy smokes. I'm too excited about this interview, Gray. Welcome to the show.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, anytime. So fun fact, Gray and I had not met each other until Alliance Nationals, which was felt like yesterday, but how long was it? Like a month ago?
I give or take 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah, 3 weeks ago. And I'm walking up to the stadium and all of a sudden I see this very large man waiting outside. I'm like, that kind of looks like Gray Robertson, but I don't know because he's wearing sunglasses and I've never met him before. But I'm like, kind of looks like Gray. Is Gray here? And I walk up to and you look at me and I'm like, and I look at you. I'm like, hey, Gray, how's it going? I definitely know that's you now. But it was just like this funny encounter where it's like, I feel like we've known each other just because we follow each other in the softball world and our worlds collided at Alliance Nationals.
Isn't that how it goes though? Like, I feel like so many of us all know each other from strictly social media and then we run into each other at the World Series or the Alliance All-Star Game or a random series in March or Clearwater. And it's like, oh, I've known you for years, even though we've just met. Hi, nice to meet you in person.
I know. And I've watched so many of your shows with Tara. So we're going to talk a lot about Softball America, Out of the Box, Alabama softball, of course. But first things first, we have to talk about what's behind you because I honestly, this is actually embarrassing that I didn't know that this was a thing until I met you and you called some of the games at Alliance. But you have these game boards and like clearly the ones behind you have to be significant games or you wouldn't have framed them.
Yeah.
So which ones are behind you? I need to know.
Okay. So in 2019, Alabama won the SEC, and I said, I have to have something to commemorate this moment, because I'd been there, that was my third season, doing radio on CTSN, and we were going from Baton Rouge, where Alabama had clinched the regular season title, to College Station for the SEC tournament, and so obviously I had nothing with me to properly, you know, I didn't have all the stuff at home that I maybe would bring for the team to sign. So I was like, well, I have the board. So let's see. Right behind me, this direct one. So this was Alabama LSU. Right after that series was done, had the whole team sign it, coaching staff, everybody. And so I said, all right, cool. Anytime there's anything significant like that, I will have the team or whoever is involved sign the board. Mm-hmm. There were a couple moments after that. So up here, I'll pan up a little bit if I can. Mm-hmm. That is Montana's perfect game in the World Series against UCLA. I got Montana to sign it. She signed the circle. Stephanie Van Brakel Pro Throw, pitching coach, because, hey, she's making the pitch calls. She's part of it, too. And Bailey Hemphill caught it, so she signed it. So those three. And then...
phenomenal.
Over here, we've got Lexi Kilfoyle's perfect game against Georgia. Steph signed it. Allie Shipman signed it. Lexi signed it. And then here was Montana's perfect game against Ole Miss. Montana signed it. Lance signed it. That was Lance's first year as pitching coach. And then midway through the game, Allie Shipman got hurt. So she signed it. And then Emma Broadfoot, who came in to catch, also signed it. So two catchers. Perfect. And then the other two over here, this was the first year of the FGCL when we took a team of all-stars to go play the USSSA Pride. And
had all
our girls sign it. Which was very cool. And then this was when Caleb Rowe and I called the World Games, the gold medal match between USA and Japan. So me and Bro signed it.
How cool is that? I remember listening to that game, not knowing who you were yet. And then I see it on your Twitter. I think it's still your first tweet, isn't it?
It is.
That last one? Yeah, pretty sweet. Yeah. So what's funny is, like, you know, there's going to be so many more. So you're going to have to figure out space to post some more games up.
Yes, I will. And we are running out of wall space up in here. But, you know, this is a big place and there is some more real estate on the walls outside this office.
Perfect. It'll just be your entire complex or wherever you live, just be in your entire house by the end of your career.
I think my dream is to turn all my boards, like including the ones I've had since high school, into wallpaper in my office when I have a home of some sort. I do not have a home right now, but I mean, you know, like a house, like a basement area with a TV and a desk, and I just turn it into the wallpaper.
That sounds fantastic. For those of you who are not watching this on YouTube, first of all, go watch it because you can actually see what these boards look like. But so basically, for those who can't see it, they're in huge poster boards of the entire lineup. And obviously, you have to like put in changes, like when people are, you know, subbing for somebody else. At the bottom, you have, you know, entire defenses. But like, take me through the board, because it sounds like without the board, you probably would feel lost calling games, I'm guessing.
I mean, the board is essentially a memorization tool for me. I utilize it, and it's different for each job, right? Like the TV board is very much, where are you from? What do you do? What's your major? What are your accolades? Who's your dad? Like, did your dad play football somewhere? Let's talk about him. And, you know, all this other stuff. The radio boards are much more statistically based. We've got a lot more specialty stats that I'll find. I can't tell you how many times during a season I'll just be like, this might be a thing. Let's spend an hour looking it up. And sometimes it is, and sometimes it's not. And if it is, then it goes on the board. Like in 2021, we had what we called the stat, which was Alabama's record when Alyssa Brown scored a run. That was just the thing that we started keeping in 2019, and we kept it up the rest of her career.
Wow.
So just,
that's incredible.
I use it as an opportunity to like memorize a lot of the numbers that I'm going to maybe want to mention, but just to have it in front of me on very clear color-coded sides representing each team.
Oh yeah, it's very color-coordinated, I should say. Yeah, it's so good. And honestly, you're so good at your job, because I think,
thank you.
One, yes, a memorization of school or a memorization tool, why am I talking about school? Is to write things down. I think they even say like you're 70% more likely to remember something when you write something down. Like I feel the same way. If I write it, it's going to stick here more. So I just think that's so cool that this is how you kind of just like, you probably only panned the board a few times, but you know exactly where everything is on that board. And everything is like so microscopic from at least my view right now. So that's pretty sweet.
I do write very small. And I definitely use it more in TV because that is a lot more, I mean, that's just a lot more factoid stuff to remember. I mean, hometowns, and I'll know it. Like if it's a 3-game series, I'll have it by the second game, but the first game I will have to look. And there are some times where there's a player and I just like, it doesn't come to me. Like I have to keep looking every time. But yeah, I like having it all in front of me. It's the handwriting portion of it. Cause every year I work with somebody or I run into somebody who's like, why don't you type it? And the typing just doesn't do the same thing for me. I just, the handwriting part of it, I like that I can kind of control the importance of it. And also I can control the spacing. You know, with typing, I use Word a lot, but it would just, it's too complicated to try and fit things in a certain area and make it where you want. And
yeah, I mean, you have words within every inch of that board. Like, how would you do that on a piece of paper?
Right. Where it's readable and makes sense. You can't. I've tried it once or twice. It's hard.
These are going to go down as like things that, you know, Pat Murphy's going to go back and be like, man, these boards are the coolest things ever. Like, it's just, these are going to go down in history. I think they just are.
Thank you. It's a lot of fun. People think I'm crazy that I enjoy it as much as I do, but like nothing fires me up more than just sitting down for 5 hours writing out a board.
I'm glad you mentioned the 5-hour mark because it's just, again, you're just studying, you're preparing. Right. If you don't do a board, it's just not going to be the same. So yeah, shout out to you. That's pretty awesome. So where did this passion for softball begin? I'm curious.
So I was a fan of Alabama growing up. You know, I was born in Birmingham, hour from Tuscaloosa. Always loved the Tide as a child, went to all the football games. And I very vividly remember watching, I apologize to Alabama people for what I'm about to mention, but Alabama Hawaii in Supers at the lake with my family. And when they walked off game 3, I was very upset, very angry, went outside and yelled into the woods. And then 2012 rolled around and I stayed up. And that was a very late night for those of us in Central Time and on the East Coast. And I stayed up, I yelled, woke up the family when Jackie Traynor got the strikeout to win the national championship. And I enjoyed watching them. I don't know what it was, but I think it's the same thing Meg Aronowitz always talks about, which is like, if you just watch it, you'll get sucked in. And that's kind of what happened. And then when I came to college, my freshman year, the opportunity was there. Jim Carabin, I credit him so much for even giving me this chance. You know, we met and he said, softball is coming up. Would you like to sit in on a weekend with Tom Canterbury? And I said, absolutely. I love Alabama softball. So that's kind of how it started. And then I fell in love with it because it was so interesting. I mean, I tried to explain to my college friends, like the stuff that goes on in softball, like if you think college football is dramatic, you should see some of the things that go on the field, behind the scenes, the narratives, all the stuff in softball. It really is soap opera-esque, and it just it intrigues me to no end. And I just fell in love with the sport at a young age, and I feel extremely lucky and blessed that I've gotten to work in it more or less and be a part of it in a very, very small role for the last decade.
Yeah, that's, I love learning that because, you know, when you're so passionate about something and you're so excited to be able to be a part of it, it's like, of course you're going to say yes to that. And I think especially at a young age for people that are like, what should I do with my life? There's so many like high schoolers, college, you know, athletes that are just like, I don't know what to do. It's like, if you love something, just go say yes to everything about that. And you'll find the thing that you become great at. And, you know, you very quickly did. So did you study journalism at Alabama then, I'm guessing?
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
And I missed a lot of class. Shout out to my professors. It would be funny because I remember very vividly I was in a geology class that was irrelevant to my journalism studies, but we had to take science. And there were like 4 baseball players in this class. And they went up to the teacher first day and said, hey, here's our schedule of the games we're going to miss. And here's our academic advisor's signature and all that jazz. And teacher goes, all right, cool. Thanks. Thanks, guys. I walk away. I walk up. I go, hi. So same deal, except it's work. And I just need you to trust me because I have no academic advisor to sign off on this. But I promise you it's what I want to do. And it's legit. And here's the link if you ever want to listen. And all the professors in Alabama were very cool with it. They understood that that was the career path. And obviously, a lot of the journalism teachers were like, yeah, that makes sense. We'll let you go get real world work experience on this Friday. Yeah.
So were there internships involved? Was this considered an internship at some point? Like, did it cross over?
It did briefly. I got class credit, I think, junior and senior year for calling Alabama softball. Okay. And I had to like journal. It was very interesting. I had to journal everything I did. And that was kind of where I first realized how long it took me to make my boards because I would start a timer and then have to write it down. And, you know, even single game days at Rhodes, that's a 5-hour deal. You know, you get there 2 hours early. Game is hopefully 2 hours, but usually longer. And then you stick around TV for 30 games. Minutes after. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was how that worked.
Wow. The devotion. I don't know how you were able to study if you were doing all of that.
I did, and I had a good GPA. I did graduate, but yeah, it was a lot. And again, you know, I told the players this a lot. I'd be like, I know I will never fully understand the workload that y'all have to do with practice and games and also being a student, but I felt like I kind of got a glimpse into how hectic their lives could be just because I was doing kind of their same travel-ish schedule, just like as a NARP. If your listeners are aware of that term, a term I didn't know until like 2 years ago.
A NARP, non-athletic real person. Is that what it is?
I think that's it.
But you were training just like the girls were. You were just getting ready for your game. So like, I think podcasting for me is like a game day. So like all the prep that I do to get ready for game day is the same. Like, obviously it's not as physical. It's all just, you know, taking notes and studying the person I'm interviewing, but like, it's the same thing. Like those are your game days just as much as theirs.
I mean, everything is everything's a game day in some form or fashion. If it's something you care about. And I was very, very, very passionate about doing the job right. You know, my dad, like I grew up hearing from my dad, if you're going to do something, do it right. And I've always believed that. I'm never, ever going to do anything without being 100% in and not doing everything I can to make it as strong as possible. I'm a very, very harsh self-critic. I have to listen to myself a lot, but I hate listening to myself because I'll hear things and go, ugh, why did you say that? It's so stupid. And
Or I said that wrong. I do it all the time. Yeah.
Like, why didn't you capture it that way? Like, here's what you should do next time. And that's just kind of how I'm wired.
Yeah. But that's why, you know, if you go back to probably the first game you ever called, it probably makes you cringe. But that's also how you got to where you are now. It's a beautiful thing.
Oh, my first notes.
You should frame those, friend.
Oh, no. They're gone. I mean, they're still on my phone. But I did. My first game was game 3 against LSU in 2017. That was Allie Walljasper throwing for the Tiger. Bailey Landrews on that team. Jake Wish. They were pretty stacked.
Bailey. Love her.
Yeah. And I was new and I was not as well versed in what to understand about the sport. And so my first game was game 3. I went and sat in with Tom games 1 and 2. And my notes are just like the most basic thing ever. It's just like Allie Walljasper throws hard with spin. It's like, yes. Looking at it a couple years ago, I was like, I hope I didn't say that. Like, of course she does. Come on. It's Allie Walljasper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. So at Alliance, Jamie had mentioned to me, she's like, I really want you to call the national championship for like the 16 and 18s. And I'm just like, you don't realize I've never done this before. Like, I think I'd be able to kind of like muster up. Obviously, I have a ton of knowledge about the game, but like, you know, I don't want to get someone's name wrong. I don't want to like mess up the outs or something like that. Like, of course, my biggest critic in my head is like, you're going to screw it up. Like, because you've never done it. But have you ever felt that, especially like at the beginning when you're doing this?
I would say not necessarily, because especially with TV, the first time I get into TV, I've been doing radio for softball for 2 years. And so I felt like I kind of got the gist, and at least I wouldn't make any like basic errors. The hard part has been when I've done sports for the first time. Like the first time I did gymnastics, it was a quad meet, and that's four teams going on each apparatus all at once. It's a lot. Like a lot is happening at one time. And I just never felt like I was on time, I guess. I felt like I was off. Like it was hard to keep up with everything. And that stressed me out. And after I was like, I felt like that was a horrible show. And my producer was like, that was fine. It was like, well, I felt like I was horrible. But I learned from that. And when I did gymnastics this past year, it was with two teams, so a lot easier. But I felt like I had a grasp on it a lot better just because I'd kind of been through it once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so funny. Like being someone, obviously, so you're very elite in this field. I ended up being decent at softball, but like the amount
you're of good. Come on now. Thoughts, decent. Come on.
The amount of thoughts that kind of like go through your head, you know, early on, it's like, it's for all of us. Like we all are going through the same thing, just in a different arena, it sounds like. So kudos to you for, you know, doing gymnastics again, because I might have been like, no, never again. I don't want to touch this. But, you know, you keep just like jumping into the hard, and over time it gets easier.
Yeah. I mean, I like the challenge. I like doing, I say yes to everything. I think I've said no to like two jobs ever, and it was just because I was doing something else that weekend. Yeah. But yeah, I will always say yes. So people out there, if you call me, I'll probably say yes.
Great. Good to know. So that's why you came on the podcast? Okay. I'll know that for...
No, I'm kidding. I came on joking. The pod because you're great at what you do.
No, I'm kidding. I honestly love this. So I've interviewed Amanda Scarborough about like her, you know, what she goes through when she calls games and stuff too. But, you know, I wanted you on because you in Alabama softball are like, you know everything about the team, everything up and down, left and right. Like there's everything you know about them. So... like, is this, so I want to know, like, where did Out of the Box start? Because it's gone, you've gotten some insane interviewers, like, you talk post-game, and like, I love the riffs you guys go on, it's so fun. But where did Out of the Box start, and just take me through that right now?
Well, first and foremost, I will rep the
Out of the Box mug. Coffee mug. It's fantastic.
Shout out to our creative team at Softball America for crafting this new logo that I could put on a mug, because our old logo... would not have worked. So, you know, I started in 17, 18, people kind of like Tom and I had a groove, and it became clear that we were a good team. And we would have people come up to us and say, y'all should start a podcast. This was as like everybody was starting podcasts. So we're like, all right, sounds fun. Let's rock and roll. And we started in 2019 and we put together this rundown. We went and recorded at a studio, and we said, we're going to do this premiere, preseason, you know, whatever. And then we'll just lay out until conference play. And we'll wait until conference play starts. We'll come back. We'll do a second episode, and then we'll see if we want to do this weekly. And the first episode really did well, and we advertised it a lot. But it kind of did some numbers to the point where I was like, Tom, I think we might need to go early, but we didn't really have an opportunity in the schedule to do earlier than the start of conference play. And it took off. It gave us an opportunity to meet people who have become friends and guests. Like we had Bro and Shipman on and a couple other people early on. And that prompted Amanda to DM me and be like, hey, you've had all my coworkers on. When can I come on the pod? And I was like, let's go. And then now Amanda's become such a great friend over the years, and such a great help. You know, if we ever need a guest, I know that I'm like, hey, you know, something fell through, whatever. Amanda, like, you want to pop on? And same with Jen Schroeder and Tara, and like these people that we can talk to regularly, who help us learn the game, who are willing to talk about pretty much anything, who don't ask questions. They're like, yep, I'm down. What game you want to play this week? And It's just morphed into such a great way to get to know people in the sport, to get to know various coaches, not just Murph, but like everyone in the SEC and around the country even better. And it's been so rewarding because it has forced us to take an even deeper look at the sport, because if we don't, we have nothing to talk about. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'll be coming through box scores every night in the season, looking for things to talk about on that week's show, or even when we were doing, we don't do anymore, but even when we were doing like the FGCL player of the week, I was looking at probably 80 box scores a night on the weekends. And I felt like I knew everything about every team in America because I was looking at the results of every game. And it was so cool that it started as this suggestion that Emily Pitek gave us and morphed into this thing that allowed our passion for softball to come through even more and allowed us to have a lot of the discussions that we can't have elsewhere. Honestly, mm-hmm. like we're not afraid to talk about, you know, some of the controversial is maybe not the right word, but just some of the stuff that we can't necessarily talk about on TV or radio and give mm-hmm. our honest opinion. We refuse to talk about rumors. If there's a rumor, we will wait to discuss it until it is a fact. But, mm-hmm. you know, if we're talking about Florida, Arkansas and the 25-minute review, we might spend that long discussing that entire scenario and, you know, giving our honest opinion. So mm-hmm. that was a very long and rambling answer that covered a lot of things. But I love doing the pod. Tom loves doing the pod. And I've loved all the things and that it has given us and all the doors that it has opened just to get to know people in the sport even better.
Yeah. And I'm very glad you brought up Emily Pitek to this interview because, you know, talk about another heart of Alabama softball. Like, she didn't even play. Like, she played soccer, right?
Yeah. She was like, a beast.
And she is literally the biggest fan out there on the field. Like, every time I'm looking at Twitter, she's like, I got one more ticket for today's game. Like, she's giving them away. She's like, she just wants people to be involved. And, you know, her relationship with Murph and your relationship with Murph, like, it just sounds like a fun place to be, you know? It and is. I've only been there once. I played in that stadium one time and my parents came down and I remember I hit a home run to right field. So you might have actually, this is 2015.
It was before me.
Oh, you're right. It was before you. Or was it 2014? I don't know. But I remember hitting like a home run to right and then Murph like shook my hand at the end of the game. He's like, you're a stud. I'm like, thanks, Murph. Thank you. It just like, and then I played with Molly Fichtner for professional ball. And there's a picture of her catching and me in the batter's box. And I had no idea who she was then. And I found it. I was just like, and Molly's one of my favorite people in the entire world. And she's like, do you know Murph actually like really loves you? I'm like, what are you talking about? And she's just like, no, like when Murph found out you and I were teammates, he was really excited about this. And I'm like, I don't know why, but yeah. Then my relationship started with Murph. Murph came on the podcast. Like, I don't know. There's just something about Alabama that I'm like, I kind of want to live there, even though I live in Northern Indiana, complete opposite.
Please come down. Come for a game this year. We'd love to have you.
That's exactly what Murph said last week. I even texted him because you guys hosted the final series, the championship series for AUSL. And I texted Murph. I'm like, do you know how badly I want to be at Rhodes? Like, do you know how badly I want to be? He goes, come on down. We got a spot for you. And I'm sitting here like, why did I even say that? Because there's like no way I could get down there just with the season that we're in right now with our two littles. But I was like, dang, I really need to go. So maybe this is the year. I don't know.
We'd love to have you. You should come. It's a magical place. And like, I'm not shocked at all that that was Murph's response. Like, I feel like I've learned so much from that man, just being around him and the program that he's fostered for the last 10 years.
Okay, let's dive deeper into that because he was one of my favorite interviewers, but also we got so much good feedback from what he was talking about with us. But why is it that he's just a man who gets it. Like, he gets the bigger picture, you know, mm-hmm. like he's not worried. You know, I'm sure like losing a tough game like rattles him a little, but like, I feel like he's always just upbeat and optimistic. Like, what is it about Murph that makes everybody just so attracted to this guy?
I think the biggest thing is that he truly cares about everybody who steps into that clubhouse as people and not as players. And I know every alum, like Montana very recently in an interview said the same thing. people over the player, person over the player. And but that extends to all of us, which is the crazy part. Like, it extends to the entire coaching staff. It extends to a support staff where I've been there like the shortest amount of time. I mean, this upcoming year will be my 10th year on the radio side. Tom's been there for 12. Nate's been there, I think, for 12. Michelle Diltz has been strength and conditioning for years. Sherry has been the administrative assistant for, I mean, shoot, since pretty much since Murph got there. I mean, it's, you know, we've all been around for so long because we love each other. And that love was fostered by a program that allows for that. You know, when we have the staff Christmas party, the invite list is very long because, and everyone, people will miss other Christmas parties to come to that one because it's the one that we all want to be at because that's where our family is. And that culture, it is just, it's Patrick Murphy. I mean, he has made sure that everyone feels like they should be there, like they're wanted, and like they deserve to be in that room and they deserve to be heard. And I don't know how he does it, honestly, but he just has a way of making you feel very, very special every time you're involved remotely in the program.
And I don't even think I'm a part of the program, but somehow I am. Like, literally, when I interviewed him, it was the day before September 1st. Like, September 1st is the day where he can start contacting future, you know, hopefully future players for him. Like, and I'm like, shouldn't you be like studying? Are you sure you want to do it tonight? And he's like, no, we're doing it. And I'm like, okay, all right, we'll do it. And I'm just like, geez, this is probably like one of the most stressful nights of the year, but welcome, you know?
Yeah. And even when we do media days on Out of the Box, which is cool. And I can't wait to prep for that because it's like the only time every year I get to truly talk to all the coaches in the SEC. Our Murph interview is always the longest. And every interview we do with Murph is the longest because he'll be sitting at his counter and we'll say, all right, Murph, like, do you need to cut out anytime? He's like, nope, let's go. And we'll sit there and talk for an hour. And I try and keep interviews like 30 to 45 minutes when we've got five coaches on one episode. But it's impossible because he just gives so much to us in those conversations. And just a lot of the lessons that I've learned in the program. Like, I mean, I know he talked about Mudita on your pod and he talks about 100%. It everywhere. And like, that's something that I have taken into the rest of my life because I'm in a very competitive industry. Like there are not a ton of opportunities at, you know, at the big level for play-by-play people because they're such a set number. It's not like I can go be an analyst because I didn't play volleyball or football or softball or anything like that. So I've had to kind of learn how to be okay with celebrating when other people get opportunities that maybe I don't. And that's something that Murph has really helped foster, not just in me, but in the entire program. I mean, it's the pillar of Alabama softball.
Yeah. That was probably the highlight of the interview. We talked about it for a while. But yeah, I think even he mentioned the video that he's probably talking, you know, about the video probably, but it's where like one person starts dancing on this berm at like a concert or something. And then like another person walks up to them, they start dancing. And then all of a sudden everybody on the berm is dancing to this song. He's like, that is Mudita. That is literally to a T, like go support somebody who's passionate about something. And like, and when somebody gets an opportunity that maybe you don't get, you're still like 100% excited for that person. And like, he just, it's such a cool perspective because we live in a world where we feel like there's not room for all of us at the table. You know, it's like there is. There definitely is. I mean, I jumped into podcasting way later, but I was pretty intimidated by it at first. And of course, I see the numbers of other podcasts. I'm just like, well, I want to be up there. I want to be up there. But it's like, no, you kind of have to like give respect to those who have earned it. And then, you know, just keep learning. And over time, you're going to be better at it. I don't know. There's such a cool perspective. But yeah, Murph lives that to a T, no doubt.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's why Alabama is what it is. And it's hard in this new era of college athletics, I think to truly hit on those type of kids, but he keeps doing it. I mean, every year I walk into the clubhouse and I meet these new people who've come in via the portal or from recruiting, and you fall in love with them, and it makes it hard to say goodbye when they become seniors and they have to go. But it makes it all the more special that you get to be a very small part on that ride, either for that season or for that career.
As some of you know, we at When the Cleats Come Off have our own podcast gear. Some of you have purchased hats, sweatshirts, crew necks, and just for fun, I'm going to start creating some t-shirts that have some of the epic phrases we've had on the podcast on a t-shirt. Right now, we have Stay Awkward, Stay Humble, and Keep Smiling on a t-shirt, and it's one of my favorite things that I've ever created, and many of you have purchased it. If you didn't know this was a thing, go ahead to my website, ashleybtraining.com, and click on merch, and you'll be able to find the entire line of When the Cleats Come Off gear. If this podcast has been something that you have loved and you talk about it with your friends, why not wear some of the gear or even sip your coffee in one of our coffee mugs? New gear is coming out soon, and I'm so excited to launch it soon. So go ahead and check out the website if you are at all interested in wearing some When the Cleats Come Off gear. Remember, that's ashleybtraining.com, and click on the merch button and you'll be able to see what we got. All right, let's head back to the episode. Similar coach that I felt is like Murph was Carol Hutchins. So I played against Michigan, obviously, in the Big Ten for a while. I always thought she was super intimidating and scary and all this stuff. But then my sister transferred from UNC. She was there for 5 years. She had broken her hand, also got a COVID year. And she's like, you know what? I want to go closer to home, see if I can find, you know, a competitive team to play for. So she played at Michigan Hutch's final season. And it's so funny that, like, being someone who played against Hutch forever, as soon as my sister committed that team, I was a part of Michigan softball, and like she made it known. And I'm like, the only other coach that I felt that with was Murph. So it's like, it's so wild. It's not even wild. Like, if you do things the right way, like, you're going to win games that like nobody expects you to win. You know, like when Alabama made those like postseason runs, nobody saw them even getting to like supers. And here they are at the World Series. Like, I feel like that is what cultures that is, that what he's creating and what these coaches do to like see the person before the player. And then all of a sudden everybody's playing for each other. And it's way more fun that way, I feel like.
100%. And it makes people want to come back. I mean, this upcoming year will be the 30th anniversary of Team One. I believe the big alumni weekend will be April. And every alum I've talked to since Murph announced that was happening, I think it's the Kentucky series, he said on the pod. Like every alum I talked to was like, yeah, I'll be there. Yeah, I'll be there. Like everyone wants it's to like come a wedding. Back. Yeah, exactly. And there's no second thought about it. I mean, it's like, yeah, of course I want to go back home. Like, come on. And that's special. That's not necessarily how it is everywhere. And I don't take for granted that I got super lucky that this was the program that I got to be involved in. There are a lot of great coaches and a lot of great programs that do great work around the sport, but I feel like being involved with Alabama softball for going on 10 years now has helped shape me in ways that I never would have anticipated when I was a freshman and I said yes.
Yeah. I feel like that's a lot. That's how a lot of players who graduate from Alabama see it, is like, yeah, there's no place I'd rather be. But also, like, you look at Montana Fouts, Jackie Trina, Lexi Kilfora, Ali Chipman, like all these elite athletes. It's like when they were freshmen, I mean, you would know this, most of them, not Jackie Trina probably, but like when they were freshmen walking on campus, like they were probably completely different humans by the time they walked out, like in a good way. Like they, like, can you kind of talk about that? Like maybe scenarios of, you know, Montana early on versus like now where she goes back and plays in the AUSL championship and is like, basically people are bowing to her because they're so excited to see her compete on this field. And she won, she threw the game winning strike. How insane is that? But you know, that she wasn't that when she got there, you know?
Well, I'll give two examples. Montana won for sure, because she was like, in the early days, and there wasn't even a lot out there, but softball recruiting, I was like, I'll figure out who they are when they get here. Like, I wasn't paying attention to the lists and who was where and whatnot. But Montana, people were talking about Montana. I heard about Montana before she got here. And so I was excited. My my, you know, Murph hates the word expectations, but I was like, my expectations were high. And she came in and she delivered. And I remember week two, we were in Tucson, and I think there was an error and a double against Arizona, second and third, nobody out. And she struck out the next three batters against Arizona. And I remember looking at Tom like, uh-oh, this kid. Okay. I see it. It's real. And where she grew was like, her game was always good. She was a stud as a freshman. Like, her only off year was 2020, and that season was cut short. She was always good in the circle, but her leadership improved each and every year she was here. I watched her morph into this person who not only was the face of the program, but was also the voice in the room, and who was able to bring everybody in. And that by the time we got to her senior year covering her, you know, she had built up enough as a leader that when she tore her ACL in the SEC tournament, the team was like, we got you. It's okay. And that relationship was really, really special to watch how that blossomed over her career. Because when she was a freshman, like all freshmen in college, like, you're not a leader. You're not that person yet, but she became that. And it was really, really cool to watch her develop that part of team life as her college career went on. And then the other example I gave is Callie Hevelin. Now, we were talking about Callie before we popped on here. And
love that girl. I need to get her on the podcast. What am I doing?
Honestly, she's one of my favorites.
You can help me prep for it.
Okay, great. I love that kid. And I love Callie for a lot of different reasons. Specifically, like, it started in 2022. That was kind of before it was cool for a lot of kids to leave programs through the portal. Alabama was one of the first to do it in 2022. There were six that departed, and pretty much the entire freshman class left except for Callie. Except Callie. And I remember having a conversation with her dad, and I talked about this on the radio. And, you know, she was playing in the FGCL that summer, and I ran into him in the stands, and we were talking, and he was like, yeah, I mean, you know, I told Callie, like, you want to play more, get better. And I said, all right. So she's got the right mindset. And I watched her develop year in and year out to the point where she should have been an All-American this year. And I was actually quite mad at coaches who, that she was not this season, because she put together that type of year. And to not only watch the game portion of her grow, because she is the true testament of a player who got better throughout, like, each and every year in her college career. But she also became like the heart and soul of a team in a lot of ways. And that's not necessarily what I would have predicted for Callie her freshman or sophomore year, but she grew into that. And it was so cool to watch the fans truly embrace her, from her kind of being like the, well, I guess Callie's going to start at second, to people weeping in the stands on her senior day. I mean, that was a cool transformation. That was really, really special. And she's one of my favorite people in the world. She lights up a room, as you know. I mean, she's unbelievable. And it actually hurts a lot that she's not going to be on the team this year, because I love seeing her.
Yeah. Well, then we can, you know, push that into prepping for the interview with me and her. Even though I don't know what she's doing next, I'm gonna have to make sure I catch her, because I have a studio that I can do one here. Cause she only lives, within like 45 minutes from me. So
bad
I'm pretty
all.
Lucky. Yeah. Yeah. We live in very cold states, but I like to get girls on like that, especially cause like she's from Michigan, and there's a lot of people, you know, who think, you know, the best talent only comes from California and Texas. And it's like, yeah, her and I are very similar. We started off like kind of rocky early on in our careers, and over time we got better. But like, I feel like that's just like the way up here, you know, like the mentality that her dad gave you. It's like, that's kind of just how we are built up here. It's like, okay, somebody says no, well, we're going to go find a way to get a yes. You're not playing. You're not good enough. Go figure it out. Like, that's just kind of how it works. And I don't know. I don't know if it's just Midwest, but I kind of like to claim it sometimes.
Well, and I got a shout out at her parents too, because this year, Callie's senior year, they drove every weekend from Michigan, wherever the team was. Yeah. And like, that's a lot of miles, but shout out to the Hevelin family who again, like, that's the other part. That's what's great about our job, because we get to know the parents almost as well as we do the players, Mm-hmm. And, you know, we see them in the stands. We see them before games and after games. They're, you know, DMing us, asking questions, like all that stuff. And we love that. But when they go, that almost hurts as much as when the player goes. And we just, we love those relationships with so many of the players who've come through.
Mm-hmm. Which is why you're probably just as excited for Alumni Day as everybody else.
Oh my gosh. I'm hoping that my home area can host something. There's like a roof area that can hold a number of people. And I need to talk to Murph and see if we can have an alumni event on the roof here.
That'd be so cool. Yeah. That's so awesome. Well, this has been so enlightening. We haven't even talked about Softball America, who you've been spending tons of time with, you know, recapping games and stuff. But what do we need to know about Softball America? What's to come? What should we be excited about here soon?
Well, we're doing the Rule Book Club, which is
you just recorded your first episode, right?
We did. We talked about Appendix G. I was like, we're going to talk about other stuff in this episode. Let's do something that's like two pages in the rule book. Nice and easy. No,
we spent
45 minutes, an hour and a half episode talking about Appendix G and discussing. We had a really good philosophical discussion about if replay is actually making the sport better or not. Mm. And I think this year there was a lot of debate about that because so many of these reviews, I think, like there were some very high profile reviews that I feel like hurt the sport because I would get texts during UCLA Tennessee where my buddy who I've known since we were six is just scrolling channels, comes across ABC, says, "Oh, look, let me watch a softball game." And he watches a review for 15 minutes. And I felt like that was a hurtful moment for the sport. As wild as it was for us softball people, I'm sitting there like, this is crazy. You know, the casuals are rolling through, like, why are they looking like she didn't touch home plate? Okay, next, like, let's move on. And so that was an interesting conversation that Tara and I had. Next one, I'm not sure what it will be. The obstruction episode, when that comes, will be a banger. So
you got to get Jen on for that one.
She has specifically requested.
Okay. I was going to say, Jen Schroeder better be on that one.
Yes. Obstruction Queen Jen Schroeder. And yeah. And, you know, Brady's cranking out content. Nicole and I hopefully will have an episode of The Dirt back soon. And I love getting together with Tara every week. I mean, we enjoy getting to talk about as much as we get to talk about because her passions for the sport are very, very similar, but also much more wide ranging than mine because she sees everything from a different perspective. She sees it as an international head coach. She talks to Patty Gasso, you know, when they talk on the phone or text, or I don't know if Patty texts, but they definitely talk on the phone. You know, they speak as contemporaries because they're both head coaches of national teams. And it's so interesting to watch the game, to discuss the game with Tara because she sees it in such a very, very different way than I do. I'm watching it analytically and I can be pretty harsh and I can be pretty blunt. And Tara kind of sees a lot of the nuances a lot better than I do. And it makes for really, really fun content. So we'll, you know, be doing more summer and fall stuff. And then, you know how this goes, we'll blank and the Super Bowl will be next week and we'll be getting ready for the start of season.
Correct. I know. That's literally how it is. This is why I'm trying to land as many interviews now as possible because school is about to start. It hasn't fully started. But yeah, you're right. As soon as things start flying, it's like, I'm sorry, where are we? We are in February. We're playing softball now. Like, okay, great. Awesome. Then I'm going to go to a game and be like, oh, Gray's here. Awesome. I'm going to give him a big hug.
Yeah. And then we'll be at the World Series. That's the other crazy part is we blink and the season starts and then we blink and the season ends. And it's like, well.
Yeah. You guys do so much. You could do so much during season. I swear, like every time I look at the phone or look at Twitter or anything, it's like, okay, they're getting on another live. Okay. Well, I have to go listen because I have to see what happened during this like Florida OU game. Like we need to talk about it. So yeah, basically, if you're softball obsessed like us, go follow Softball America because they are headlining a lot of the big stuff going on. And I love that you guys are riffing about the rule book because I feel like we all need to learn a little bit more about it. Is this like the official 2026 rule book? Or
this is the 24-25. So Madison Shipman inspired me because during the Arkansas Florida fiasco, she was like on camera leafing through the rule book. And I remember I was watching that whole thing in the hotel room with Tom, and I was like, should I get a rule book? Is this something that I, because I'd always done the PDF download on the laptop. I was like, should I just buy one? Yes. And then Tennessee UCLA happened, and I was like, well, I'm getting one.
So time to get one.
This is my physical rule book. The shipping and handling cost is insane, but it's not that expensive overall. So I would recommend everyone getting a physical rule book, but perhaps wait a month because it's going to change.
Correct. And also, like, look at the rule book before you go bash a team on like Facebook. Like, can we just get more educated messages on social media? Did I just call out a bunch of people? I'm sorry.
No. That's a whole segment on Out of the Box. And
you've done it on Out of the Box
already? Oh, Off the Wall. It's our favorite and least favorite segment. We started it year one, and it was just like going through the Facebook comments. And, you know, people say the craziest things, especially at Alabama. I love our fans, but football has conditioned them to expect something that Diamond Sports, where you play 60 games, can't deliver. They just can't.
Good point.
No one's ever gone undefeated in softball. So Alabama will not go undefeated this year in softball.
Yeah, no one will.
No one will. It has never happened. Sorry, Oklahoma fans. But so we would go through these Facebook comments and just pull the ridiculous ones. Like, I remember in 2021, somebody commented, well, my niece's JV team could beat Alabama. And I'm like, haha, okay, that's funny. And somebody replied to that person. She said, no, really, she plays for blah, 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 blah. And so we were like looking up Max Prep's website of this JV team, and they're under 500. I'm like, hold. So then we, go on a soliloquy. Like, you really think this 16-17 JV team could beat a college? No. And so it's just stuff like that. And I even got some stuff from AUSL.
So this makes me think of Bree Ellis. Okay. So she's getting so much hate right now for the fact that her stats were not good in AUSL. I'm like, that is how good these professional softball players are. Nobody knew it because it wasn't getting the notoriety and attention that it's getting now, which is exciting. But like, you can't expect Bree Ellis to go off of college season doing the unthinkable as a hitter and being able to translate that and just copy and paste it to pro. That's just not how this works.
Right. Especially when you let the pros prep now. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's a regular AUSL, like what they're doing now, the All-Star Cup, maybe it's a little bit easier for rookies to slide in because you're just like, I mean, easier is not the right word, but
it's different.
Like, yeah, it's different. Like, pitchers are rolling in. They're just like, all right, I'm going to throw this. I don't know what you, like, I don't know a scout on you because I'm just throwing. Whereas talking to the coaches who are in the AUSL season, they're like, yeah, we do like film as a team and like prep for everybody. And that means that these pitchers who are so experienced and who have so many tools and who have been there, done that, they're attacking these rookies with all that knowledge and also now the added film study that they've done to prepare for these matchups. And it's asking a lot for rookies in any sport to roll in and just be studs. I mean, NFL, we'll be talking about, this quarterback or this receiver, but that's what, like, there are actually maybe 5-10% of NFL rookies who actually make an impact, and everybody else is kind of like a 2 or 3 or something. Right. And Anna Gold had a great AUSL season, and Raylan Chafin threw well, but never appeared in the championship series. And Sierra Sacco was really, really good at the beginning of the regular season. But I mean, it's like hard to be a rookie and thrive. And I thought a lot of the Bree Ellis hate was unjust, even though she would also probably say like, yeah, my stats weren't good enough, but she did help the team in other ways. Her OBP was really, really good. And that's all about setting. I don't know. I'm going on.
I just really like her mentality through it all. She's just like, really, guys, like, what did you expect? Like, she's like, these pitchers are amazing. Like, but that's the beauty of the game. It's like, and again, I always say this, and maybe it's just because I only played 2 years professionally, but I was like, if I would have taken the same mentality, those, if I would have played, let's say like 5, 6, 7 years, I would have been the best I would have been so much better every single time that I played. So like, I have no doubt that Briellis is going to go off in future professional years.
Well, I mean, your girl Erin Koffel, you know, first year in AU was like, all right, she seems like she's fine. I don't know. It's not going amazing, but like, she's not terrible. Yeah. I don't know. And then this year rips the cover off the ball.
Exactly. You know,
like, sometimes even just that one year is all you need to really take off. I have zero doubts about Briellis.
She was the last live interview that I posted, and we did this one in person actually during her break. I almost called it an all-star break. It's kind of like an all-star break, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, she goes into like how she changed, what she did different going from her first year to second. So I'm not going to spoil it. Everybody go listen to it because it was fantastic. But yeah, she's doing incredible. So it's not how you start. I think it's how you finish.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, it's the examples litter the sport, litter every sport. So no concern about Briellis. People need to chill. Oftentimes that is our motto. Like, people need to calm down. Sometimes it's okay not to press send and just let things happen.
Facts. Facts. Final message for listeners of the podcast. What do we need to know about you? Where can we follow you? I want to know. I already know. But
lots of places. I was recently coerced into getting back on TikTok. So find me on TikTok. The FGCL girls kept tagging me and things, and I was like, all right, I guess I'll do this. So that content exists now. And Twitter, @Gray_Robertson, @X, @OutOfTheBox_pod, various Instagrams. You will be seeing on the gram lots of pictures from our recent lake weekend with a lot of the Alabama folks. And that'll hopefully be a growing tradition as time passes. And yeah, Softball America. Like and subscribe all the Softball America content. Tara Brady, Sydney Supley, Nicole Mendez, Grace, like the whole gang. Everybody does a great job. So just check it all out. We appreciate it.
Perfect. I love it. Final question that I have for you, because I feel like I need to have the last say, apparently. When can I come on Out of the Box?
Anytime.
Okay, Murph. Okay, Murph.
We'll craft. I got to see what our schedule is, because I do try and curate a lot of the guests.
I'm sure you do.
Like, we always do Michelle Smith right before Clearwater. We always do Amanda right after Clearwater. Premiere is usually somebody that we won't get during this. Like, Kenzie Fowler's come on the last couple of premieres. One, because we opened in Arizona this year, but usually because we don't play Arizona. And so it's like, let's bring in Kenzie now. So We'll make it happen. I'll find a weekend.
It can even be like an impromptu that nobody knows about, but I'm dying to meet Tom and hang out with y'all. So
that'd be great.
I think it'd be fun. I'm not as legit as an Amanda Scarborough text. Okay. I know that. So like, get me in, put me on the sidelines.
Would you want to play a random game that I create?
Yes.
Okay. Cause Amanda.
I'm so down. She's anti that. She wants happening.
She loves it. Like, we've created games based on reality shows the last like three times. So we did like Softball is Blind. We did The Ultimatum, just a lot of different stuff. So I'll come
you're just going to have to curate it to like, so I'm not as involved in like collegiate softball as Amanda. So you're gonna have to like dumb it down for me a little bit.
Cause
you know, I have two kids. I can't watch every game, but I will do my best.
What about this one? I just thought of this. Glove Island. We can talk about defense and stuff.
Okay. Can I tell you, I've never watched an episode of Love Island.
Neither have I, but every player in the FGCL, I walk into the dugout to be like, hey girls, what's up? Oh my gosh. Did you see blah, 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 get kicked out of the villa? I'm like, no.
I was
watching. I don't even know what I was watching. What was I watching this summer? Rewatch Scandal. A couple other things. I watch a lot of TV, a lot of movies.
You watch Suits?
I'm not.
It's a great show. It's long. There's a lot of seasons. I'm a fan. I'm rewatching that.
I try and like stay up to date on like, there are a lot of new shows that are coming out soon that I'm really excited about. The can't remember what it's called, but Mark Ruffalo's in a new HBO show created by the guy who made Mare of Easttown, which is one of my favorite shows of the last 10 years. And I'm very excited about that. I go see movies all the time. Like that's, I think that's literally, like,
I love movies. It's my favorite thing.
Piece. Have you seen Sinners?
No. Okay. So I haven't seen, I haven't been to a theater in like over a year, and it's literally eating me up inside. Cause I used to go to movies like once a month, at least. I'd go to matinees at 11. Now I have kids, so it doesn't work. But no, I love going to the movies. It's my favorite thing in the world. But no, I haven't seen that.
That's good. It's on Max. So if you want, or HBO Max, whatever they rebranded it. But
yeah.
Yeah. There's, it's a good movie year. You know, you gotta, you might need to pick and choose. Go to one or two.
Finally, I feel like we haven't had good movies in a while. We just have remakes. That's all we have. Yeah. Kind of over the remakes. Even though I did find out that Disney, he said like one of his dying wishes was, please, every 10 years, like remake my movie. I get it because like things change within the movie industry and like he wants them to be cool, but like I don't want them.
Yeah, I feel that. Like there is a, I'm trying to think of, so there was a trailer that came out recently for two movies that I cannot, straight up cannot wait for. And thankfully there are a couple members of BAMU who also enjoy the cinema. So sometimes we'll go and watch.
Good. Watch, I used to go alone. It's pretty sad.
I saw Uncut Gems by myself at 8 o'clock on Christmas. And it was one of my favorite theater.
Nobody was there.
No, it was awesome. I was so stressed out, but it was amazing. But, what was I going to, oh, After the Hunt, which is Luca Guadagnino, who I trust immensely because I love Challengers.
Okay.
Joya Roberts is in it. Andrew Garfield is in it. Io Adeboye is in it. Just looks
sad. That's a cast. That's good. Yeah.
Yes. And then The Lost Bus, which is Paul Greengrass, who just excels in kind of these, like, these emotional, realistic, you know, these are things that happened, but he's able to bring it on screen in a way that really kind of hits. And it's about fires in California and this bus driver played by Matthew McConaughey, who has to go and pick up these kids at a school who are just surrounded by flames in California.
Oh my gosh.
Drive them to safety. And it's
what?
The trailer is heart pounding and I can't wait for the movie.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I like action movies. So I think that's what it'll be. Okay. Final question. Actual final question. You went to St. Elmo's when I saw you and you got, was that your first time there?
Third.
Okay, wait. You've been there many times. But was the shrimp cocktail everything that you remember?
Yes. I will say, I don't know if it was when we went previously, because we went in like 2010 during a Final Four. Maybe 20, okay. I can't remember what year. And then 2015 also during a Final Four on Easter. And I felt like we were there for a million hours. Sydney Supley and I went, and we were there for an hour and a half. And it was just in, out, you know, zip zap, sit down. So you want the cocktail? We said, uh-huh. And brought us. He said, the waiter was like, share. And Sydney and I looked at each other and both went, no.
No.
No. Bring us each one. And it was everything that I remembered it to be. It's like, I'll say this. I would say it is the food version of watching Gone Girl with somebody for the first time. Have you seen Gone Girl?
No, I actually haven't, sadly. Oh,
okay, well, there's a twist in the middle, and my favorite thing is watching somebody who's never seen Gone Girl watch the twist and watch their face. And I think this is the food version of that, because if they don't know what they're getting into, you just sit back and you watch them eat this shrimp cocktail. And their face will tell the story. They won't.
Now
have to
I don't
want to
watch it. No, I'm kidding. Oh, wow. You know, I've heard of Gone Girl. I've heard of it. I heard it's amazing. Again, the only time I can watch movies is after the kids are in bed, which would be 11 p.m., but I have to get up and feed my kid at 2 a.m. So,
yes. And
no excuses. Play like a champion. I need to watch Gone Girl.
But make sure the children are asleep. I'll say that. Yeah.
Okay. Facts. Gray, this was way too much fun. I'm so glad this happened. I feel like it should have happened a long time ago, but it happened right when it needed to. So,
yes.
Well, grateful that you were on. I'm excited to see what y'all do, especially with that rule book episode, all that stuff. And also can't wait to keep following you, especially in season, which we have time, but we really don't, you know, things are brewing.
It will come quickly. I will be sending out media days emails. I was thinking about this like 2 months from today. Thinking about that this morning. I was like, oh no, start of October. I got to start.
There we go.
Really putting together all the rosters, and it does come quickly, but I'm glad that you know, we still got a little bit of time in the quote unquote off season to to hang out. It was good to see you. Thank you for having me. Well, I'll return the favor soon. Don't you worry.
Take your time. Seriously. This has been a blast. And I'm so lucky that our sport has you, because I'm glad we excited you enough to have you on board, let alone having you do what you do for our sport, because it's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
You see, softball obsessed people are everywhere, and I am so glad I finally got to meet him in person a few weeks ago at the Alliance Nationals. Make sure to give Gray a follow, and if you love Alabama softball at all, you need to follow his podcast, Out of the Box, and tune in to hear him and his partner break down games and listen to some epic guests that they have on the show. I'm still manifesting getting on his show one day. As always, if you enjoy the podcast, go ahead and click that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. And if you're feeling generous, go on over to Apple Podcasts and go write me a fun review. I see every single one of them. Don't forget to stay awkward, stay humble, and keep smiling. And I'll see you next week.